Don't forget, pray for the children. They're having a Christmas party over there. This is the last patch they'll have. The next 3 weeks, they'll be out. We will probably meet in the auditorium the next 3 weeks whilst the children are here. We'll probably meet on the side that the adult Sunday school meets on. Because if we bring the children in here, I don't think it'll be enough room. I don't know. It might be. What do you think, Pastor White? Can we fit? Who's claustrophobic? All right, everybody. Okay. So we may have to go just to get in there. But y'all pray. Eventually, though, when we get to the point where we need more room, we're going to go to chairs and not pews. And so we're going to take those pews out of that other auditorium, and we'll be having chairs in there. And so when folks have pews, they take up more space. Brother, what do you guys have at your church, pews or chairs?
Yeah, interlocking chairs, and you know, so you could actually set three people on two, if
one was. Amen. And so we'll probably go to something like that. Brother Dan Budgick has got him out there, and Pastor Sturzbaugh's got him up at Bethel, and so that's probably eventually what we'll go to. We have pews because that's what came with the church. Amen. But one of these days, we're going to outgrow those pews, and then you will not be able to spread all your stuff on three areas. Amen. You have to contain it yourself. Amen. So praise God. All right. We're continuing with our theme here. So next week, or the next 2 weeks, we'll probably meet there. We'll see what the attendance is like. I know Christmas gets sparse, and so we'll play it by ear and see what we can do. All right. Philippians chapter 2. Open your Bibles there. Chapter 2 and verse 15. And then Acts 26 and verse 24. Acts 26 and verse 24. Philippians 2:15. And then Acts. And moving on to another area, we talked about the modern marriage, standing against the modern marriage. Now we're going to be talking about another area tonight, and we'll start that and hopefully finish it up next week. All right, if you got your places there, go ahead and stand with me if you're able. We're going to be in Acts 26 and verse 24, and then Philippians 2:15. Philippians 2:15. All right, everybody should be there. And let's go to Philippians 2, read that one first, and 15, this is our jumping verse, and here we go, verse 15, read it along with me. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That is the goal. We want to make sure that you and I can stand for our Christian culture and stand against this crooked culture. Modern marriage is what we saw. And now we're going to see another area. Go over to Acts chapter 26 and verse 24. Acts 26 and verse 24. Most of you probably remember or are familiar with this phrase, Paul in front of Festus and Agrippa. And he makes a statement here in verse 24. Let's read that together. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Amen. Today, we talked about modern marriage. Now we're talking about standing against mad morality. Mad morality. By the way, when you and I stand for morality, people think we are mad. Absolutely mad. Amen. And so here Paul is confronted with that same methodology, and we'll talk a little bit about that and get into the message tonight, and then we'll finish it up by God's grace next week. Amen. Father, thank you once again for the stand of Paul and the stand of other Christians. Help us to stand in this wicked world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So we're talking about seven things that we need to stand for in our Christian culture. We talked about how we need to shine as lights in the world. And these seven things, let me list them to you again. That way you know what they are. And I'll give you the titles that I gave them. Modern marriage is one. We saw that one already. Marriage is being misinterpreted and perverted. The next one is mad morality. Mad morality. What are we talking about? They have bad boundaries in our society today when it comes to morality. Bad boundaries. And then some of the others, the other five here. We've got Moving money. See, preacher, why would I call it moving money? Because it makes you move from your steadfastness. Amen. Then we've got manipulating movies. Why would I call it manipulating movies? Because there are hidden ideas and agendas behind movies that try to move you in a certain direction. Then we've got misleading magazines. They have hidden agendas and propaganda to try to suck you in. Amen. And then we've got meddling music. Why would I call it meddling music? Because music has a motive and it has a message and it's designed to get you and grab you. And then we are talking about misused media. By the way, media is a good thing. It's a very good thing. But there is such a thing as misused media, and many people misuse media. So those are the seven that will take us into the new year. And so we're not going to be able to talk about all those, but we will talk about some of them, and the rest will kind of just sparse off into the new year. But today we're talking about this thing called mad morality, mad morality. These seven things have turned our Christian culture upside down when there was a time when it was just the opposite. Media, music, magazines, movies, money, morality, and marriage. We looked at the modern marriage and we saw biblical marriages versus botched marriages. By the way, you talk to a lot of young people right now. They will tell you the horrors in their life. Just talking to a young person not long ago and asked them just a simple question. Where is your dad? My dad lives over here in such and such a place. Oh, is that your brother and your sister? No, that's my stepbrother and my stepsister. Well, what about, well, we don't have the same mom. Well, we don't have the same dad. And that's commonplace now. And that's the botched marriages that we have right now in this society. Now, some are self-inflicted and others are just victims of a bad situation. And there's some good people caught up in that and some great little children caught up in that that are growing up with a mindset that's not biblical. And so you and I have to stand because the devil is going to attack our marriages. He is. And he is doing it left and right. And so we talked about the botched marriages versus biblical marriages. Another area we need to shine in as lights in the world tonight is mad morality. Our society's morality has gone mad because its pattern is mad. They're patterning themselves after what they want to do. And I'm going to get into some things here in just a minute here. But let's look at the context of what's here. Acts chapter 26. Paul here is in front of Agrippa. Of course, Paul's been kept in prison, and Agrippa brings Festus in here, and he's allowed to speak for himself here. Notice down here in verse number 24, because Festus now is getting a good earful along with Agrippa, all right? And Paul gives his little defense. Notice verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. What was his vision? Down there in verse number 16, but rise, stand upon thy feet, for I prepared unto thee, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. By the way, that's you and I. God appeared to us, and it is our job to tell people what we have seen and what we've experienced. He's telling Agrippa, and he's telling Festus this. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. By the way, somebody was obedient and told you. Amen. Somebody was obedient to that vision the same way Paul was and told you. You have told others and they have since gotten saved. And so that is what we should do. Paul is telling Festus and Agrippa what's going on. And notice what it says in verse 21. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple, went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. He said, I'm not doing anything out of the ordinary. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Now, notice this. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. In other words, he said, Paul, you are a maniac. Oh, the Greek word is, I had G2, they're studying Greek. I said, G2, what does this say? In the Greek, it's mania. It's mania in the Greek, which we get our Greek word maniac from, or mania. And so in other words, what he's saying to Paul is, you're crazy. You're crazy. You're mad. Amen. By the way, Paul wasn't the only one that got that leveled against him. Amen. And so there's this area of the mad morality of the world that thinks you and I, for our Christian stand, we are mad. I'll show you a couple other examples of that. Go over in your Bible to John chapter 10 and verse 20. John chapter 10 and verse number 20. When you and I stand for Jesus Christ, people will think you and I are absolutely mad. John chapter 10 and verse number 20. Who's there? Can read John 10, 20 for me. Who's got that already? Gregory?
And many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear you him?
Now they're talking about Jesus. Jesus has a devil. You know what they're saying? Jesus is a maniac. He's crazy. Amen. Notice another one here. Go over to Acts chapter 12. Saying he's a maniac. He's raving like a maniac. He's beside himself. Acts chapter 12 and verse 15. Who's got that one? Read that for me. Acts 12, 15. Terrell, go ahead.
And they said unto her, thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that he is even so. But then said they, it is his angel.
And that's when Peter was knocking at the door. And they said, you're mad. You're crazy. You're a maniac. They're saying the same things that were said about Jesus and about Peter. Now they're saying the same thing about Paul here in 1 Corinthians 14:23. Let's look at that one. Same basic word, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 23. When you stand for Jesus, people are going to say you are absolutely wacko. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. Who's got that one? Can read that one for me. 14. Andrea?
If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad?
Will they not say that ye are mad? You're a maniac. You're beside yourself. How many have ever heard somebody speak in tongues before?
Scary?
What do you think? They're crazy. There's something wrong with them. I mean, this is not Spanish. This is not Chinese. This is not Greek. This is babble. Amen. This is gibberish. Amen. So the same word there. He said that you are mad. Go back over to Acts chapter 26 again. And so our society's morality has gone bad because its pattern is bad. And this is just another area of the seven M's dealing with morality. The devil tries to use against us to draw us into the world's mentality. And so when you look at that word in Acts chapter 26 and verse 24, he says, much learning doth make thee mad. That word there is that mania word, which means to be crazy. Or to be a person that's loony. But then you come down to verse 25. Notice what it says here. But he said, I am not mad. That's a different word that means similar. It means to rave or to be beside thyself or to rave as a maniac. So Paul said, I'm not raving like a maniac. I'm not going on like some crazy person. Notice what he says. He said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of what? Truth and what? Soberness. He said, this is just stuff you can't comprehend. Amen. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded. None of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. They didn't give a chance to answer. He said, you know I'm not crazy. You know you believe this. Amen. I was just talking to a guy the other day. And he said, I'm an atheist. I got to talk with him after I talked to him a little bit. I said, you ought to stop that. I said, I know you're not an atheist. I said, you believe in God. I start pointing out some things to him. I said, you said this, you said that, you said this. He said, well, I guess I'm not an atheist. I said, no, you're not. No, you're not. I said, so why would you even sit here and frame your mind? He said, well, I guess I'm an agnostic. I said, well, that's improvement. Amen. That's improvement. Well, I said, you don't believe that. I know you don't believe that. You don't even believe that you believe that. He's just trying to get me off your back. But son, guess what? You'll still go to hell whether you believe it or not. Amen. And guess what? He's like, And I told him this. I said, you know, it takes you just as much faith not to believe in God. It takes you to believe in him.
Amen.
I said, you got to do some serious believing to not believe in God as you look at the evidence. I said, there's got to be some serious stuff there. I said, there's more evidence stacked against unbelief than there is in belief. I said, who hung the sun up there? Who made this? Who made that? I said, if you want to come with this evolutionary big bang, I said, who made the bang? I said, you can't win. He said, well, I guess you got a good argument. I said, it's not an argument. That's truth. I said, somebody had to get some spark to make this bang happen. You know, you don't make a bang with nothing. But hey, man, there you go. I said he hung the stars on the head, but he just kind of looked at me like, I can't believe you said that to me. I said, sir, I'm not trying to make light of this. I said, but you do believe. I said, you know you do. And he finally had to admit that he did. Amen. And so he said, King Agrippa, I know thou believest. Notice verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest to me to be, persuaded me to be a Christian. As the person said, almost persuaded, but lost. That doesn't make it good. But notice what he says. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Paul said, I wish everybody was like me, except not being in prison. Amen. And notice the rest of the conversation. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with him. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. What happened in the end? In the end, they knew he wasn't mad. They knew what he was saying was true. They know there was an element of truth about what he was saying. And what am I saying here? The world is gone mad, and they think you and I are mad. The word mad, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means insane, mentally ill, crazy, loco, or loony. Hence Looney Tunes, amen. They're not in their right minds. By the way, anybody that could do some of the atrocities that are done, shooting people in church, they're not in their right mind. Not in their right mind. People that could do things like that, they're not, you know, killing babies, shooting randomly in a crowd, that you're not in your right mind when you do stuff like that. And so we're looking at some things here. The word mad means to be insane. The right mind is the mind of Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians 2:16. I'll show you what the right mind is. Amen. And by the way, they want to call this mad. They can call it mad all they want to. 1 Corinthians 2:16. And this is the right mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 16. And 1 Corinthians 2:16. Who's got that verse? Can read that for me? Julian? Amen. That is the right mind. That is the mind of Christ. And so the right mind is the mind of Christ, which is the renewed mind. Over in Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's go to Colossians 3:10. Colossians 3:10. Because the world will think you are crazy. By the way, if they said that they thought Jesus had a devil, what do you think they're going to think we got? A devil. Probably several. Amen. Now think about it. We teach our children modesty. We teach our children to wait till they get to the altar to keep themselves pure. The world thinks that's absolutely crazy. Hey, you got to have the spice of life. You got to have some different things on the shelf here. You got to have some experience. That's foolishness. But when we say be pure, they think we're mad. We're loony. No one wants to do that. Well, God does. Amen. He wants us to do it too. Colossians 3:10. And who's got Colossians 3:10? Can read that. Gregory.
And have put on the new man.
Amen. Put on the new man. So what are we saying here? If we're going to stand against the mad morality, against the bad boundaries that are there, you and I are going to have the mind of Christ, be renewed in the spirit of our minds, making sure that we're in the knowledge of him, and because we've been created after him, and make sure that we stand for that which is right. The world will call us mad, just like they call Paul mad. They will. I don't care how you slice it, they're going to call you and I mad. The word morality means, notice this definition of morality, the principles concerning the distinction between right and wrong or good and bad behavior. So in other words, it's the measuring stick that you use to determine what is right and what is wrong. It is the measuring stick as to what you determine what is good and bad. That is why the world can do what they do, because their principles are bad. Their foundation is bad. That's why I mentioned this before. That's why cannibals don't have a problem eating people. Their foundation is bad. Think about it. Who in their right mind is going to eat somebody?
That's just wrong.
Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not in the mood for eating people. Now, give me a steak. Give me some ham. Give me some turkey. Give me some chicken. Give me some chitlins. My son, they don't like that. Like, Dad, take that, cook that outside the house. Amen. That's been stinking up the whole house. Amen. But you don't cook people. Morality. The principles concerning the distinction between right and wrong or good and bad. Here's some synonyms for morality. Ethical, virtue, decent, upright. This is in the dictionary. Righteousness. Good behavior. The mad morality of our society has no boundaries. Anything seems to go and be acceptable. Now, let me jog y'all's memory a little bit here. I'm going to give you certain stories here. And these happen in the book of Judges. To see what morality is like without boundaries and without God, recall the days of the judges. Back in the days of the judges, a man cut his concubine up in how many pieces? 12 pieces. And who did he send her to? Every tribe. Talk about mad morality. Since when does that become right? To cut up a person and send them to somebody? Now, brother, I don't know about you, but that just don't sound right to me. Now, can you imagine that? I mean, somebody come in and do something to a loved one that you have, you're going to hack them up in pieces and send them out to people to get them fired up? I'd be grossed out, not fired up. So a man cut up his concubine in 12 pieces. A man stuck a dagger into a king's belly, handle and all. I mean, Daniel, you got the dagger, then stick it in, and you left the dagger and the handle in. Now, I did say he was a fat man. handle and all. Since when do you stick a dagger all the way up in somebody's belly and leave it there? That just... Now, I guess if it's stuck, you can't get it out. But men wanted to be immoral with angels and guests. A woman broke a man's skull with a piece of millstone. Slap broke the skull. Jael drove a large nail through a man's head. This is in Judges. The tribes were warring against each other and killing each other. This is in Judges. Idolatry was rampant. Remember the priest Micah had a little idol image. He stole it from his mom. His mom said, "Bless you, amen." And y'all remember some of that from Judges? That is what we call mad morality. That is when you leave God out. Matter of fact, it said every man. Go over to Judges chapter 17. Let's see that real quick. Judges chapter, because this is mad morale. This is what happens when people aren't in their right minds and do things according to their own will. Judges chapter number 17. Judges 17 and verse number 6. And Judges 17, 6. Who's there? Got that? Read that for me. Daniel. Did that was right in his own eyes. And flip it over to chapter 21 and verse number 5. 21:25. Judges 21:25. And 21:25. Who's got that one? Read that for me. Brianna? Now, does that sound like 2018? Yes. That sounds like 2018 to me. So we are not far off from a man cutting his concubine up in 12 pieces, a man sticking a dagger in somebody's belly, handling all, men wanting to be immoral with angels and the guests, a woman breaking a man's skull with a piece of millstone, JL driving a large nail through a man's head, tribes warring against each other. We are not far away from that. Sounds pretty modern enough today. And we're talking about mad morality. When that is, when you're basing your morality off of the times, you're in trouble. If we don't base our morality off the word of God, you and I are going to be in bad, bad shape. Israel did not base their morality off the word of God. And so they did some things that were atrocities. Proverbs 12:15 says it this way. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Just for a minute. Just think about this. If you did what was right in your own eyes tomorrow, what would you do? Probably wouldn't be a couple people at your workplace. Probably be a couple bosses with a couple broken legs. Probably be a couple subordinates with pink slips. Probably be a couple students out there with a bat over their head. Probably be a couple neighbors, maybe with an arrow through their foot. Maybe a couple sliced tires of somebody. If you and I did that, what's right in our own eyes, we would be in bad shape. What? This world's morality is mad. It's corrupt. And they think we're mad. They think we're mad. Amen. By the way, if the morality of our day is mad, where should the Christian's morality come from if he wants to shine in this world? The Bible. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 18 with me real quick. Deuteronomy 6, 18. Now we're turning to a few places here, setting this up for next week. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 18. If our morality is going to shine, what are we going to need to do? Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 18. Amen. Who's got that one? Can read that one. Rose. Amen. So what's going on here? Moses let him know, look, if you're going to go into the land, if you're going to keep it, and if you're going to be successful, then you need to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. You've got to make sure you follow the word of God. It is the same for you and I. If we're going to stand against this mad morality that the world has that's pressing against you and I, then we're going to have to say, okay, Lord, what's right by you? What would you have me do? Because, folks, I'm telling you, if you and I try to start living by the world standards, we're going to be in trouble. If we try to stoop to their level, we're going to be in trouble. If we try to live the way they are living, we are going to be in trouble. Say, preacher, how's this going to happen? 2 Corinthians 3:18. Let's go over there real quick. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Because they said Paul was mad. If they said Paul was mad, they're going to surely think you and I are mad. But the opposite is true. This world is mad. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And the sure way of change. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from the glory, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we've got to have the mind of Christ. We've got to be changed. If we're not changed into the image of Christ by default, what will we be changed into? Image of the devil. Amen. It won't take long. Hey, you read Joshua. And you read that book, and what does it say? Everybody follow God. Everybody follow God. Everybody follow God. And then it's that infamous but. But there arose another generation that knew not the Lord. And they didn't know the things that God had done. So what happened? It took only one generation for people to become mad and to do what we just talked about in Judges. Wow. It won't take long. Hey, you can say what you want to say. You and I can serve God, but there is no guarantee that our children will. Amen. I'm just saying. Joshua couldn't guarantee it for the next generations. So when you look at this mad morality that's out there, it's pressing in on us. It's pressing in on our children. It's pressing in on our children. It's pressing. You say, preacher, what is pressing? Amen. Because there's a mentality of the world that is there. But then there's a methodology of the wise. And go to Ephesians chapter 6. Most of us should be able to quote this. Ephesians 6:10. It says, what? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The world's mentality is going to come from 1 John. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so the world's mentality is 1 John 2:15-16. The methodology of the wise is Ephesians 6:10-11. By the way, I'll give you a description of the world's mentality. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 10. And this is Peter here. Now y'all saying, man, our Bibles are getting work out tonight. Good, good. And we're almost done. Acts 13. And Acts 13, notice verse number 10. And this is the Jew, Bar-Jesus, and Elymas the sorcerer. And notice what was said to him in verse number 10. And said, this is Saul speaking, or Paul, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of how much righteousness? All righteousness. Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? The key part there is, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Why do I say that? There's a world out there that's trying to tell young people that this is right and it is wrong. They're trying to pervert the right ways of God to say, hey, look, you don't have to wait till your marriage altar to be pure. You can do some things now. Really? Not if I'm going to be right with God. The goal of the world is to pervert the right ways of the Lord, to twist them, to do the right thing in the wrong way. It's always been. The devil knows if he just comes out and tells you to sin, you're not going to go for it. But he knows that if you try to do the right thing in the wrong way, he can get you. They say immorality is big business and it sells. That being said, we need to be cautious of four things we're going to look at next week. Number one, commercials. Number two, clothes. Number three, comedies. And number four, current events. We need to shine because these areas, if we take a stand, people are going to think you're mad. They're going to think you're mad. They really will. If you dress a certain way, look a certain way, talk a certain way, don't look at certain things, abstain, they're going to say you are mad. What's wrong with doing this? Remember that? Me and my wife went home after we had gotten saved. We said we weren't going to look at certain programs. They said, better cover your eyes. You can't see this. This is sin, sin, sin. What were they saying? You're mad. Mad. What's wrong with watching this? There was something wrong with it for us. Amen. But a mad society out there, a mad world, doesn't see anything wrong with it. Why? Mad morality. And they think we're the mad ones. Amen. And so these areas we've got to be cautious about because these areas Satan is trying to push in and try to press them in on us a little bit more, a little bit more. The commercials we watch, the clothes that we wear, the comedies we see, and the current events that we listen to. The devil's trying to push that in. And it won't be long before we're just like in Judges. It won't be long. And you know why? We'll say, I'm doing that which is right in my own eyes. I don't see anything wrong with that. Or worse, this. Well, to me, it means. To me, it means. Well, marriage, to me, it means you can just get rid of them whenever you want to. I like Pastor Bennett's word. What would it mean if you didn't exist? Interesting thought. So, folks, we want to stand against mad morality. There's some bad boundaries out there. The world's going to think that we're mad just like Paul did. Let's go back to Acts chapter 26. Close out with verse 24 again. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. He said, you're a raving lunatic. You're a maniac. Much learning doth make thee mad. It makes you crazy. But he said, I'm not mad. I'm not a raving lunatic, most noble Festus. But speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Folks, let's plan on, let's count on, let's bank on standing. But be ready to be called mad because they're going to say you're mad. When you don't want to do what they do, they're going to call you, you're mad. Why can't you do that? Well, because my God says that's not good for me. I don't care how much morality shifts and how much it is. You know, one thing that gets me, Pastor White, with a lot of these athletes, when they get caught in immorality, they have the audacity to say that it was consensual. That burns me up. Like that's supposed to make it right. Well, it was consensual. It was mutual. Like that's supposed to make it right. It's still sin. I don't care if it was mutual, consensual, or whatever. It's still sin. Yeah. Call it what it is. Well, you know, we had an agreement. Agreement was called sin. But they don't want to call it that. And we'll go to court and we'll win. Will win. Amen. What am I talking about? Mad morality. Bad boundaries, folks. Make sure that we have principles based on the Word of God when it comes to our boundaries, and we're going to stand for that which is right. Father, bless now. As we go into this wicked world, Lord, we want to be lights that shine. You said, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Help us to go out of here, Lord, going back to our homes, going to our jobs, going to our schools, going to our communities, going to our sports, and Lord, making sure that we stand for that which is right. Because there's bad boundaries out there. There's some mad morality. And Lord, help us to shine. Lord, we're not perfect people. We're just redeemed people. We're not saying that we're so much better than anyone else, Lord. We're just saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're sinners saved by the blood. And Lord, help us to stand, not with a haughty spirit, not with an attitude of arrogance or pridefulness, but Lord, saying that I'm a sinner just saved by grace. And I'm going to stand for my righteous morality and not this mad morality. Help us, Lord, to be a light among whom we shine as lights in the world. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor White's got our announcements. Pastor White, come on up. Tell us what's going on.